Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Do you have your Bible? Yeah. Yep. Good thing to bring it. It's a good thing for your witness, but also gets the dust knocked off when you bring it. I remember hearing a little joke one time. This guy, the preacher came to visit, and the preacher was talking about the word, and so the mother told this little six-year-old boy, you know, go get that book that mom loves so much. So he ran into the bedroom, came back out with a Sears and Roebuck catalog. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgment, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. You want to read that whole section, but let me finish it up with verse 23 and 24. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And now listen, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always. It's for our good always. That he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. Father, we do thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the awesome and wonderful grace that you deal with us in. Father, as we have received Christ and as we begin to grow and our discipleship takes place, we begin to understand a little bit about this marvelous grace. But Lord, it's an incomplete knowledge. We need to just continue to grow in your grace. And so I'd ask you to us this morning that you would help us to do that. But Lord, also, you tell us that we are to be a missionary people. We are to be a people on mission for you. We're to go and teach the gospel, teach and preach to every nation. So, Lord, help us to be that as well. Lord, even this morning, as we are here, we ask you to bless us. And we also, Lord, if decisions need to be made openly, publicly this morning, that they'll be done to honor Jesus. For it's in his name we are here. It's in his name we worship. It is in his name we pray. For these things we ask in his precious name. Amen. I read a poem that says, they shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we shall remember them. I think there's one thing for us to sharpen our minds that we might remember what we've learned and put it into practice. Friday was Veterans Day. And I believe that every American just ought to literally get down on his or her knees and thank the Lord God for his goodness and for those men and women who have served this country and that we enjoy such freedom. Matter of fact, let's just stop right there and let's thank the Lord. Father God, we do thank you for this great privilege that we've not chosen to be born in America. We've not chosen the families that we've been born into. We've not chosen those who would go and serve before us, who laid the foundation. But Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for those especially who have served this nation honorably, who have stood the test of time, who have been given to us examples of duty and honor and service. We thank you for them. We ask you to bless them and their families. We especially ask, Lord, for those active duty servicemen and women. Father, we would pray that you would touch their lives. You would keep them safe in some of these very dangerous places. Bring them home safely soon. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Well, we have we need to honor our vets because of their sacrifice, because of what they've given. And we enjoy so many freedoms because of what they've done. We're free to live where we want to. Nobody comes and says, you know, you need to live in Indiana. You need to live in Mississippi. We can go where we want to live. We can do what we want. We can choose what kind of occupation we have. I know and recognize that many people don't really exercise these things. We just kind of go with the flow. We're born in Indiana. We stay in Indiana. Our dad was a carpenter. We're a carpenter. All that kind of stuff. I recognize that. But we can do something different if we want to. We can load the car up and grab the wife and the kids and the grandkids and move to California if we wanted to. I don't know why you'd want to do that, but you could. You'd get a sticker shock trying to buy a house or a piece of property out there, but you can do that kind of thing. No one's stopping you from pursuing your dream. If you want to be a professional person, if you want to be a woodworker, if you want to be a plumber, a school teacher, no one's stopping. You can pursue those dreams. And we have those things. We're free because God has given us that freedom, basically. And then, of course, the men and women who have served this country have ensured that freedom to worship. To worship as God gives us the dictates of our hearts. It gives us the wisdom to understand what true worship is. This is a gift. And we ought to be thankful. Well, we set aside special days so we can remember, lest we forget. As human beings, I think we have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to get in kind of a rut. We do this and we do this and we do this or whatever. And we begin to forget why we're doing it. We forget the emphasis. I think it's just a part of who we are as human beings. Just this last week, we were treated to a very amusing, I thought, incident during the presidential campaigns when Rick Perry said there are three agencies I want to abolish. You know, number one is, and number two is, and whoops. We forget. I read a story about a person that had taken up golf. Brother Bill is a new golfer, and they were excited about doing this. This young lady was excited about doing this. They hadn't done it very long, but, you know, they were trying to learn how to play golf. And so this lady gets out on the thing you tee things up at. Oh, the tee. Okay. And she teed up her ball, and she hits it and slices. I don't know how to play golf. Slices it onto the rough. The father-in-law, he just immediately went out and began to try to find that ball and look for it. Meanwhile, the young lady thought, well, okay, while he's doing that, I'll tee the thing up and I'll concentrate and try to figure out what I did wrong or something on that slice. And so because of her intensity and those kind of things, she hit it again. This shot was very low, and it just kind of whistled just inches in front of her father-in-law's head. Instinctively, he ducked and dropped to the ground, and immediately this young girl ran over and said to her father-in-law, and just kind of blurting it out, I would have warned you, but I couldn't remember what number I was supposed to yell. Because I don't play golf, and years and years ago, Brother Don Hamm and Carl and... there was four of them, and they invited me to go with them. They said, you don't have to play golf. You can just kind of follow along. It's a beautiful day. You'll have fun. So we went, and Carl teed it up, just like on TV. Whack, you know, and wow, it was really cool. You know, that's the only thing I knew about golf was what I see on TV, you know, those professional guys. Next, Brother Sid West from Wayndale teed it up, and he hit it pretty good. And then Alvin Reed, our state executive evangelism director, teed it up and just kind of dribbled off the tee. I started to reach down and pick it up, and they said, oh, no, don't touch that, don't touch that. I thought it was a miscue or something, surely, you know. And no, leave it there. And that was it. We did nine holes. The only one that hit the ball was Carl. The others were people, you know, in walkers would go by us. Can we play through? You know? About the third hole, I was so bored. It didn't make any difference what the birds were singing. It didn't make any difference what the fish were jumping. One thing for certain and two things sure, there was only one guy out there who knew how to play golf. These other guys didn't. So about the eighth hole or something like that, like I said, I was just bored stiff. And so Carl got up and teed it up and whacked it, and it went a mile. And I hollered out, four! I didn't know what that meant. I just thought it must be good. People ducked all over the place. Carl told me, he kind of patted me on the shoulder. He says, hey, tell you what, just go on back to the, what do you call that thing, the clubhouse or something. And so they finished, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes later, they finally finished that last hole. And they came and they said something about doing another nine. I said, guys, how about you just go ahead without me? I'm going to go on. We forget things. Sometimes we have a brain freeze. But, you know, just in general, we just plain forget things. It happens all the time. In fact, forgetting, like I said, is a common thing. We forget where we put our keys. We forget where we park our car. I remember years and years ago, people would say, you know, I walked out of Walmart or Target or something like that, couldn't remember where I parked my car. You know what I used to think? How silly. It's not. I parked over at Walmart just a couple of days ago. And normally I park all the way at the other side, down there by the lawn people and things like that, because it's not quite as crowded down there. But it was early in the morning. It was about 7 o'clock. And so they hadn't, that door wasn't up, so I went to the other side. Got my junk, rolled it down to the other door I normally go out of, walked out that door, and thought, wait a second, I'm all the way over there. So I turned around, started to bring my stuff, and the guy, the little greeter person, said, can I help you? So I just, well, I said, I forgot where I put my car. He said, oh, it happens all the time. He said, take your little button thing and beep it a little bit. You'll find it. Well, we do that, don't we? We forget these things all the time. But listen, sometimes it's dangerous. Sometimes it's amusing, but sometimes it's dangerous in what we forget. Brother Gould told me about the commemoration of the 50th anniversary of Operation Shoe Fly. This was the first U.S. Marine Corps engagement in the combat in Vietnam War. Now, he's a Marine. He was a veteran, combat veteran from Vietnam. And so that was on his mind. And he shared that with me. And interesting enough, just the very next day, my granddaughter asked me this question. She said, Papa, she says, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. What's that mean? Now, she's 15 years old. And I thought to myself, so I said, well, that's the Marine Corps hymn. It's the oldest official song in the United States military. Did you know that? Montezuma, from the halls of Montezuma. That was a campaign into Mexico, the Mexican-American War, when we captured the city of Chapultepec, something like that. Well, the Mexicans did not want to give. Remember these people called Texicans and the Alamo and all those things? Sam Houston and all those people, they defeated who? Santa Ana. Santa Ana gave them a bill that said, okay, we succeed Texas. But the Mexicans didn't want to do that. Oh, yeah. You know, just a point of interest. You know where Santa Ana retired to? No, New York City. Spent the rest of his life in New York City. So they had promised to give Texas their liberation and freedom, but they didn't want to do it. And so there was this struggle for independence that was going on. And so the Mexican-American War became part of that struggle because Texas then decided to join the Union. As long as they were a republic by themselves and just struggling and fighting back and forth with Mexico, that was okay. But when they decided to join the United States of America, that started a war. And so we sent the Marines in. We basically defeated the Mexican army in a very short order, actually. And so Mexico succeeded. They succeeded Texas and even a bigger part that hadn't been originally succeeded. Parts of Arizona and New Mexico, California. How does Arnold Schwarzenegger say that? California, something like that. Anyway, that state of California, all those kind of places, all came that way. So when, you know, on Cinco de Mayo Day, when you see the Mexican flags and things like that, you know what? They're basically saying, you guys stole the land from us. No, they lost in battle. There were Americans living in these places like Texas and California who wanted to be part of the United States, and they lost that land in a battle, in war. From the shores, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, that's Libya. Here again, we had these people called the Barbary Pirates. They were raiding and they were apprehending ships in the Mediterranean, right there, right out there, Gibraltar and the Atlantic. They didn't go too far out the Atlantic, but they were just pirates, and it didn't make any difference what flag you flew. They would take your goods. Many times they took the whole ship, and many times they would take the sailors on those ships, and they would hold them for ransom. And this went on for several years, and we finally sent the Marines in to Libya, and it took about 18 months, and we didn't have any more pirate problems. The Mediterranean was free of pirates. And that's where that, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, comes about. You see, we suffer two grievous maladies in America. We forget what we should remember, and we ignore what we should be taught. And that's a shame. Forgetting things can be dangerous. If we forget to put oil in our car, pretty soon we're going to buy a new motor. If we forget to turn the burner off on the stove, pretty soon we're going to come back to a smoldering house. If we forget the past, we're destined to repeat the tragedies of it. If we forget those who have served us honorably, we have forgotten their sacrifice. We have prepared ourselves for a repeat of whatever problem we had in the past. Many today in this nation have never been taught the heroic sacrifice of those that have gone before in the military or even our own founding fathers. What our men and women in uniform have given to us that we might live freely is a gift. We should never forget that. Now, I was also in the service in the Air Force during the Vietnam era. I did not serve in combat. I served in South Korea. But I do remember the reception our troops got when they came back to America. Friends, it was deplorable. It was horrendous. No one should have ever been subjected to those welcome homes. They didn't send themselves. They were sent. They may or may not have wanted to go, but they went, and they did what they were asked to do. And then they received those kinds of receptions. Let's never let that happen again. I'm glad. It seems like in the last few years, especially around Veterans Day, there has been an opening. There has been a honoring of the veterans. And I appreciate that. I think that's the way it ought to be. Again and again, God told Israel to teach his commandments, his precepts to their children, and to remember what God had done. First of all, we read in Deuteronomy that their memory failed them. They began to forget God's mighty works among them. They had forgotten how God had called Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees. They had forgotten that they were a chosen people. They had forgotten that God had picked them out and given them a mission. You see, now listen. The whole reason for Israel was that God chose them to be a light to the nations. That was their primary purpose. They forgot it. And, of course, we read in the Old Testament many, many times. My grandson was saying that the other day to me. My son Matt is reading to them Judges, and one of them said to me, "Grandpa, you know, it seems like sometimes Israel's up, they're doing what they're supposed to be, and then 2 pages later they're down, not doing what they're supposed to be." Well, that's right. They forgot. I would ask us this morning, have we forgotten that God, too, has made us a great nation for one purpose? Not to have more trains and buses and paved streets and lights and you name it, but to be a light to the world. Our founding fathers said worship should be like a city set on a hill. To take the God of the Bible to the whole world. So all they didn't believe that. Yeah, they sure did. Go back and look. Now listen, maybe not everybody believed that. Maybe there were some who were just like you and me, in the sense they were just going along and didn't realize, hadn't been taught the significance of what some of these basic things are in the life of our country. That doesn't excuse it. That doesn't excuse it. Israel had forgotten the miracles of God, how he had brought them about, how he had preserved them, how he had made them a free people. I think that we've forgotten the miracles of God that God has done for us, how he has brought us about, how he has preserved us, how he has made us a free people. You know, in Joshua chapter 4, verse 3, it talks about as the children of Israel entered into the promised land, they crossed over Jordan. Remember, they got the priests and they got the Ark of the Covenant and they crossed over Jordan and they crossed over on dry land. Remember that? What did they do once they got on the other side? They were told to go back in the riverbed and pick up 12 stones and make a pile. Make a monument to that crossing. Why did God instruct them to do that? Now, I might not be able to touch on everything, but I think the thing was, God was saying, you guys, remember. So every time you walk by that pile of rocks, remember. Some people say, we don't need monuments. We don't need those kind of things of remembrance. I think we need them. Somebody stole a sword from Abraham Lincoln's tomb the other day. Did you hear that on the news? Because it was copper. You know, copper is worth something. Somebody stole it. They drug Abe all over the place to begin with. Finally, they finally got a fight for him. You know, and somebody stole a sword from a soldier around the tomb. Well, those stones would be a stone of remembrance. You know, there are stones right down here on the corner, right over there on Lake Avenue. They're really not so people can go find their family member. Did you know that? They're really stones of remembrance that anyone who goes through that cemetery might see that stone and be called to remember. So, you know, there's a graveyard right out here in the back of the church. Did you know that? Now, all those stones are laying down because years and years ago, as I understand, they used to be standing up. And there actually used to be a fence around it. But because of some of the children or whatever in the neighborhood, they used to vandalize those stones and knock them down. So they laid them down and they took the fence away. So it wouldn't be such an attraction. Have you ever went out there and looked at those stones? Man, they're old. They're old. Have you ever saw born and died? Some of those guys didn't live very long. Those stones in the graveyard, in the cemeteries, those stones, those markers, are not just simply about that one individual. They're a story. Their life. Have you ever seen national cemeteries with the white crosses and the Star of Davids? You know how they light them all up? They do that, you know. Sometimes, I don't know, I've been overpowered sometimes by the lines. You know that's what they want you to remember? Three guys didn't storm the beach at Normandy. Tens of thousands did. Your grandpa came back alive, but tens of thousands didn't. Your grandpa was able to do for you because of those guys that are on those white crosses in those cemeteries. And that's what you're supposed to remember. It's not just simply taking up ground. I heard that sometime not too long back. We ought to stop all this cemetery stuff. Ground, land is so precious. They don't know what there's for, you see. They're ignorant. We need to teach them. We need to teach them. Did you see that on the news the other day? Somebody, and they do these things from period time. Somebody took a wallet, put $100 in it, and put it on a park bench. And they had cameras set up for people to come by to see what their reactions would be. You know what the most amazing thing was? Now, it may have been that's the way they edited it. The most amazing thing was that out of the clips that they showed us, the majority of people who picked up that wallet looked inside. They had purposely done that. They had put this name and address and identified whose wallet this was, numbers to call and all those kind of things, addresses. And the most amazing thing was somebody sat down there, saw that wallet, opened it up, got his cell phone out, and started calling those numbers. That's amazing. There's $100 in that wallet that he could have just took out, threw the wallet down. Probably no one would have ever known. But he called. Matter of fact, one guy picked up the wallet, saw that, tried to get in contact with the telephone number, couldn't get through. And so he got a taxi and he went to the address to take the wallet back. And of course, the film crew finally let him in on the thing that they had filmed him and filmed the whole thing. And so they tried to give him the $100 out of the wallet for cab fare. He didn't want to take it. But of course, there were a couple who went by, who picked up the wallet. One guy kind of put it in the newspaper and kind of walked off with it. And of course, they ran him down and asked him what he did with the wallet. Oh, I don't know. There were some kids that came by, picked up the wallet, went on. They ran those guys down. They had the money in their pockets. And the interviewer asked the one, "Why did you do that?" And you know what he said? He gave the money back to the lady and he says, "I don't know why I did that." She said, "Would your mother have thought that was the right thing to do?" And you could just see his face. Well, so here's the money. You see, we are responsible to teach the values. We are responsible to ingrain in our children, to model for others values, biblical principles, precepts, that the Bible says that if you live by these things are good for you and I will preserve you. It's not empty. It has a result to it. Have you ever lost your wallet? Yeah, I've done it. I lost mine over there of course you probably immediately realized, at the restaurant. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Called them up. Somebody turned it in. Now, I guarantee you I didn't have $100 in there, but I had a license and some other things that I would have had to go back and get reissued. Deuteronomy says, "You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." Teach, model, live. Biblical faith before your children. Teach, model, live your faith to the world, that they might see what makes you tick. It's a sad story with a tragic ending. A young Jewish boy was growing up in Germany many years ago. The boy had a profound and great love for his father. Nothing wrong with that. The father led the family and family devotions and did their ritual things, religious practices. But when the young boy was a teenager, the family was forced to move to another town in Germany that had no synagogue, only a Lutheran church. The life of the community revolved around the church. Suddenly, the father announced that they were going to abandon their Jewish faith and become Lutherans. The young boy was, first, he was bewildered. He was confused. He was deeply disappointed. And soon that disappointment began to take its and work its way out in anger and intense bitterness. He left Germany. He went to England to study. While in England, he began to associate with radical groups in England, radical thinking. He later conceived a movement designed to change the world. In his little book, he described religion as the opiate for the masses. Of course, his name was Karl Marx, founder of communism. See, when we abandon the truth of the principles that we believe in, when we compromise them for whatever reason, practicality or whatever reason, we forget and we set up a system of failure that discourages and corrupts all those around us. Listen, people want to see what you value. They really do. They will respect your values. If you model them and you live them, they will respect that. They might not believe them. They might not receive them, but they will respect that. Listen, God is not calling for some numbed piety in us, some mindless faith. No, God is calling us to be a shout alive faith, to know what we're about and who we are. It cannot be a faith that's just kind of worn on our sleeve. It must be a lived out faith taught in everything we do, to our children, most assuredly, to everybody around us. In Armenia in 1988, there was a devastating earthquake. This father's name was Samuel. His son was named Daniel. It was a normal day. He kissed his son goodbye. He told him to have fun at school and learn. He said, have a good day. Remember that no matter where you are, no matter what you do, I'll always be there for you. And he kissed his son goodbye. Just a few hours later, this great earthquake came, destroyed almost their whole village. When this man finally recovered enough to get his wits about him, the first thing he wanted to do was find his son. So he raced to the school, and he found people, the place was just rubble. He found people weeping, and he found people in the street just weeping. And he kind of reconnoitered the pile of rubble, and he kind of figured out in his head that my son's classroom would be over here. And he began to get in there and just literally physically pick up the stones and began to pick up the rubble. Just barehanded, just physically doing that. Some of the people in the street began to holler at him, don't do that, don't do that. It's unstable. You might cause something to be worse than it is. Don't do that, don't do that. But he just kept right on going. Actually, the police department came and they too said, stop, stop. You know, you're not trained for that. We have disaster people. You might make it worse. He didn't listen. He just went right ahead and dug and dug and dug. 18 hours later, he lifted up a stone and he heard a voice. And the voice said, Dad, is that you? And Joseph said, Daniel, is that you? He says, yes, Dad. He said, come on out of there. Come on out of there. And this is what the boy said. He said, no, Dad, let the other children come first. I know that you get me. Listen, that's the kind of devotion that we need to our God and to our children, to our nation, if we love it. It can be fear. It can be rubble. That doesn't change your commitment, does it? It shouldn't. To face the trials of life, we must teach and live out the principles and remember what they are. We ought to thank the Lord for all His goodness to us. Not the least of those who served us in the military. You know, it's an amazing thing to me that most of these kids are 18, 19, 20 years old. The average age of those who stormed the beaches in Normandy, I understand, was 19 years old. I have to look at some of our youth to remember what 19 looks like. They shouldn't have to be storming any beaches. But they did. You know, it's an amazing thing to me that those children came from all kinds of ways, backgrounds, all kinds of places, and all kinds of things. They did whatever kind of training they were supposed to do and those kind of things, and they were molded into a unit. A unit sometimes that was so strong that they literally physically gave themselves for the unit. You know, I think we think we can't teach that. We can't because we don't. It's not been tried and found wanting. It's not been tried because it's hard. And if we try, and we do, it will make an impact. Do you want to make an impact? Teach, live, model, remember. And you will. The principles of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, there's so many blessings that we have. We can't even begin to number them or even count them. But thank you. And Father God, I know, at least in my own life, I have a tendency to forget or dismiss important teaching principles of life, minimize them, compromise them. Well, nobody else is doing it. That's no excuse. Help us to be like Jesus. He set His face like flint, and He went to the cross. Help us to serve You, Lord. Unflappably, never wavering, always with great joy. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.